Everybody, I'm Peter. I'm a recovered alcoholic. I'm grateful to be alive and sober and at a sacred place called Alcoholics Anonymous. We've done a whole lot of work thus far, looking at the problem, the solution, the decision, and three to get to the solution, taking some action and turning our will and life over to the care of God in 4 through 9. Searching and fearless moral inventory where rubber hit the road, and for the first time we took a look at the obstacles in our path and discovered things about self that we never really took a look at. Rubber hit the road again in the 4th column where we disregarded other people and took a look at ourselves. Saw how troubles were of our own making in almost every case. Even when people did things that weren't kind to us, we looked at how we were at fault by carrying resentment for 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 years, and how really blocked we were from the sunlight of the Spirit, which is what we realize as we wake up. Where was I? I was in the 5th step. And after writing our 4th step, we sat down with person or persons in step 5 and discussed our life with someone else. And we learned by now it was not about writing an autobiography, and it wasn't about writing all the wonderful things we did with our life. It was about taking a look at some obstacles in our path, defects of character or shortcomings, and discussing that stuff with other people. We did resentment inventory, fear inventory, sex inventory, principles, institutions, all of it. We went back through our lives, and we were searching for wholesome moral, because that's what God allowed us to do. And we finish up with our 5th step, and we get instructions for 6 and 7. We have our 7th step prayer, and we ask God for strength to go out from right there to do his bidding and clean up the wreckage of our past. And maybe we're coming to terms at that point that we need to go back and amend the harms we've caused. We need to go back to many places and amend the harms we've caused to fix the things we've done. That we learn a man is unthinking when he says sobriety is enough. And we start to touch that stuff and realize the importance of it, because what's happening is we've experienced a shift in consciousness and we're starting to wake up. And we're starting to be integrated with this power, and our view, our perceptions of everything around us, including ourselves, has been changed. There's been an obvious shift in who we be. It isn't what we start. What started out in step 1 is new by the time we got to step 9. And really what we're doing is going home. I heard it best by a gentleman. All the work we do is really about just going home. Because God put me here, and I'm sure you here also, perfect in spirit. And then we got blocked, we got sick. And we do all this removal, all this work that we do, we go through the archways about removal and dropping things, letting things go. And that's uncomfortable and painful when it happens. And we're so attached to the job is who I be, the money is who I be, the relationship is who I be, and it is none of that stuff. Some of us lived on resentment because it gave us a false sense of self, a false sense of who I am. Well, I'll fester, I'll go along with this resentment, I'll live with this fear because that's who I am, and God forbid if you take it away, well then who am I? And we learn all about that stuff, we start to experience that stuff, and what happens is we wake up, we get lighter, we get free. We experience infinite freedom and infinite bliss as we move along here. But it isn't going to happen by just coming to a meeting and trying, and I say trying, to put the plug in a jug, because if you're a real alcoholic, you ain't pulling that off. There's so much more beyond what we've done up until this point, what we do with this work. It's so much more than just showing up to a meeting. This is where we come to talk about a solution. And if you really think you need to dump for an hour or 20 minutes to take the meeting's good time, then maybe you should meet with your sponsor in a diner and do some work and put the pen to paper to come back here and talk about a solution to someone who doesn't have one. God demonstrates through us what he can do. It's way beyond just getting together like this. And so we go back to these sordid spots that we visited in the past and make right the wrongs we've caused. That's a great responsibility. And what I've come to experience, and I'm sure many of us have in here, is that we don't go alone. the feeling is like I'm going into this sordid spot to go make amends. I'm going and revisit my past to make amends, and it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be ugly. How am I going to get in and out safely? But a vision for you, God's always creating, and a vision for me is to go back and fix, and God goes with me. I go in safely and come out safely. Same thing when we're writing our fourth step. We're visiting sordid spots. We're going back into very dark alleys. We're visiting sordid spots in step four. But what we do is we make prayer to be searching, fearless, and moral, and we go in there by way of pen and paper. We go into the most sordid spot of our past, and then we come out unharmed, and we make prayer and close the book, and we go about our day. God allows us to do great things. And so as we clean up the past, we talked last week about entering the world of the Spirit from a place of known to unknown. We've acquired the sixth sense beyond our five senses that God gave us when we showed up, but we get something else. We go beyond that. We rely on intuitiveness, that quiet voice. It becomes a working part of the mind. It's what we be now. There's a tremendous shift that happens. A page and a half in step 10, tremendous amount of information. Are we experiencing any of that stuff, and are we doing any of the stuff step 10 talks about? Because what we're going to be living now is with disciplines, God willing, forever in 10 and 11. Then step 10 talked about continuing to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admit it, and there was two parts to that step 10, which carries us into step 11. We've entered the world of the Spirit. And it tells me my next function, what I'm supposed to do, is grow in understanding and effectiveness. And last week we talked about words here in our book. Continue, next, vigorous, watch, turn. All action words. Nowhere in 10 or 11 does it tell me you've done enough work, relax. Let somebody else take it. Continually growing and having new experiences with this power, having new experiences and then sitting down with a new person and passing those new experiences on and pulling them through the archway. So we hit step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him. And what do? We pray only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry it on. There's a whole lot of information and a whole lot of things we need to be doing there. But one of the things I found about step 11, with my experiences with it, there's many times in step 11 we're not supposed to do anything other than sit and be. But what self or ego wants me to do is something. Because we're going to come to words like pause, relax, and take it easy in step 11. Meditation is about getting as still as possible and visiting nothingness, where there is nothing. And in that comes something, comes inspiration, direction, strength, and courage when everything shuts down. I go into silence to hear. I go into darkness to see. That's what we do. The neat thing about step 11, it isn't like we've done enough with step 11 and there are no other books to read. There are no other techniques to use. I've had my fill with God and he's bored of hearing from me. This goes on. Grow in understanding and effectiveness. I think I've said it many times. Are you seeking experience? Are you experienced? We continue to grow in understanding and effectiveness. It's great stuff to be excited about. If you're feeling free tonight, you can get freer. How free do you want to be? There is no limit here. God is infinite. And so we walk hand in hand with this power, the spirit of the universe, and we get moved, we get taken. Talked about step 9 a couple of weeks ago about how we can make an amends here, and this part of our life gets cleared up there. Make amends to an employer, make financial restitution, and suddenly we find ourselves employed and managing our money better, make amends for a harm caused to someone, and suddenly maybe we have better relationships in other areas. With God, anything's possible. We just don't know. We don't know what the end of length is going to look like, and we certainly don't know what the outcome is going to look like, the way we don't know really what God looks like. We have an idea, our own little ideas, our own little conceptions, the thing I'd like to talk about a moment here, and we talked about this once before, is about conceptions of this power. And I share from my experience. And on that, anything I share on step 11, or any time I share on step 11, you're looking at a speaker who feels totally inadequate about doing it. Because any words I come up with, any of my experience that I come up with, I know we're going to fall short. Because God is so much more greater than anything I can bring to this table. So how can I share with, I'll share with you my experiences. I'm going to share with you my mechanics. We're talking about another dimension here. And we can literally soar in spirit. Soar. This is incredible what goes on here. Before we move on, there's a couple of questions, and I don't want to lose this. Way back when it says, God could and would if he was sought, and the question I sit with is, am I seeking this power? Or have I got comfortable with this power? Conceptions. We come to this work, we may have an idea of God, maybe we don't have any conception of God, that works as long as I'm open, as long as I'm willing to change, those I'm willing to do this work. Show up with a spirit of willingness. A mustard seed of willingness is the beginning of a spiritual experience. What happens is, like any relationship, we give to it. And so I show up, I'm not really too sure about this power greater than myself, and then I start to have a little experience with this power, and I start to have a relationship with this power, and then little by slowly what I start to do is get a conception of this power, and then I conceptualize my God. And what do I mean by that? I put God in a box. This is my God right here. Now up until that point we were doing fine, like I was, and then we get this image, this vision of what this power is and can do. But what I had to realize the hard way was, if I was one of the greatest minds in the world and came up with the most incredible idea of what God is, it's like sand on a beach. So what I had to realize, once I start to conceptualize my God, I was shortchanging not only myself, but the power of God. I limited my God. I put God in a box. And what has happened to me by dropping that belief system and able to understand that God just is, it's able to just be, and infinite. And I don't try to define or comprehend this power. I just seek experience with it. So we want to have a relationship with God. That's wonderful. We do this work. That's wonderful. We start to have experiences. It's wonderful. And we go from there sometimes to God's in a box. I know he's going to take care of my alcohol problem. If I have any other substance problems, I know that's working. But it's kind of hitting the fan right now in my finances, or it's hitting the fan in my relationships, and maybe I should do something about this. And that's the first tip off to current agnosticism. God could and would, maybe not. Maybe Peter could and would. And as soon as I start to do that, I limited God's power and I moved from being free to fear. Because if I'm in self, I'm in fear. And these are some of the things we need to pay attention to. A gentleman asked last week about when it's time to go to work, and this is a tip off. Besides re-emergence of ego and maybe some other disease and discomfort, it's that I start to run the show and I'm experiencing fear a hell of a lot more than I did prior to that. It's so easy to box this power in. And what happens, I need to have those belief systems, those attachments smashed, broken, and be made wide open once again. Which is the great thing about this work, going through it over and over again. Question to sit with is, what type of spiritual practice do I currently have? What am I doing? What's my practice like? Do I have one? And if you don't, the last thing you need to do right now is have the judge scream at you that you're not a good AA member, you're not spiritual. It's just an honest answer. Do I have a practice or don't I? And if I don't, maybe I should. And there's just so many different practices we can take in with this, along with this, not instead of. So do I have a practice and what am I doing? Am I using other inspirational, helpful books? Am I being quick to see where religious people are at? Am I seeking religious people to get information? They know far greater than I about experiencing this power. I've seen many people do great things with the disciplines in 10 and 11 and their worship of this power. And then what happened? They started to worship the methodology rather than the power that was keeping them sober. And it's very easy to 11-step ourselves right out of Alcoholics Anonymous. Because the things we're doing outside of here along with becomes what we do, period, and we forget about this. And we can join our religious community, religious groups, but we need to remember this is where God has put us. And I see many people leave this, go there, and get drunk. So we can 11-step ourselves right out of here. The things, the very things that take me to this power can be the very things that block me from this power when I start to worship the methodology rather than this power. Well, all the I's aren't dotted and all the T's aren't crossed and I'm not doing this perfect, and that's a sure sign of trouble. God does not make too hard terms with those who earnestly seek Him. If I have 5 resentments and I write 4 of them that night, God's not going to give me a difficult day. I missed one. That's why a book is so... When I first read our 11th step, I said, oh, they made a mistake. They put night, then day. It should be day to night. And now I understand why. They give us when we retire at night, and then they give us on awakening, which we'll talk about in a few moments. Step 11 says to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him. They're still telling us as we understood Him, but the key word here for me was always improve, which means I have a relationship with this power and an experience with this power. It goes along the lines of parallels, growing understanding and effectiveness to improve. Again, a book doesn't say you've got a relationship, now you can take it easy. You don't have to do any work. The only time they tell me to relax here is if I turn to this power and looking for the right thought or action. What do I do here? We don't struggle. Let's take a look at step 11. It says, step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. And one of the things I found out about meditation, it's way beyond thought. It's way beyond what my thinking mind is going to give me. Again, we've been rocking into a fourth dimension. They talk about the sixth sense entering the world of the spirit. It's way beyond thought. It's way beyond what I can comprehend with this power. That's why it is. It just is. My prayer are words to convey my thoughts to this power, knowing they're falling short. But it's just a humble offering to this power. It's words to this power. My conversations with God. But the part that always helped me or enhanced this experience was silence. I talk to many AAs, and a lot of us pray. Few of us are silent. We talk, we petition God, we offer God to God. We do a lot of things. We read lots of prayers. We do a lot of this stuff in the morning, and then when we're done, we're done. And we never sit in silence and be with this power. What a great way to worship a power that we say we love is just to sit with it and be, and maybe get some direction. Maybe get some inspiration that comes to us rather than from us. Look, it's always about us staying away from the drink, but you see how much further down the road we have gotten, how way beyond we've gotten than when we first came in here. Indeed, the miraculous. It says we shouldn't be shy on this matter. Better men then we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. I'd like you to circle the word attitude. What attitude am I bringing to this power? What attitude am I bringing to my practice? How am I doing with that? Am I being honest, open, and willing? Am I laying aside prejudice? There's a great word, a sentence in the 12 and 12. Of myself I am nothing, the Father doeth the works. Our book tells me I turn all things into the Father of life, because all things into the Father of life presides over us all. Everything I turn to this power. That's why I work with these words like turn, watch, aware, observe. It says it would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. I want to have an experience with God. I want to grow in understanding and effectiveness. How do I do that? Get silent. How do I get silent? I meditate. How do I meditate? I get silent. How do I get silent? I meditate. With me? Pretty simple. On this meditation, there are just so many ways that we can practice this. And maybe next week we can do a group meditation. Am I mindful to this moment? Am I mindful to my breath? And a great way to, as we sit in a comfortable posture, is pay attention to my breathing. How is my breathing? How is my breathing throughout my day when I get up from my practice in the morning and then go out to do God's work on the job with family? How is my breathing? Great technique, work with breathing. So I'm very mindful of my breath when I sit and meditate. And understand that this breath is because of the power of God that I have. And every time I let it out, it's because the power of God. My breathing in and my breathing out, and I'm paying attention to that breath, experience the glory of God on every breath in and every breath out, because it's given to me. I can't will myself into breathing the way I can't will myself into my heart taking another beat or my eyes seeing. I sat with my sponsor about a guy who was having a problem with sponsoring, and he was just so attached to money and work and his relationship with his girlfriend, and he was struggling with God, and I thought, oh, I wonder why. And I said to my sponsor, Mark, what do I do with this guy? And I sat with this guy, and I told him that we had a long talk, and I said, you're looking to experience God in money, you're looking to experience God in a relationship, you're looking to experience God in a place of work, and you can't. How about understanding that you're breathing in and out, your heart's beating, and you can see with your own eyes, and that is experiencing this power. That's something that's given to us. There's the glory of God in simple things. Have not picked up a drink. Glory of God. Let's go to On Awakening. There's some suggestions that we do, and when I was first getting sober, and this came to me literally on awakening, when my eyes opened, I immediately thanked my God for another day, because I knew based on my track record I'm supposed to not be seeing another day, or if I did, I was supposed to be in jail somewhere, and I was awakening each and every day free. And I was moved to thank my God immediately, as soon as my eyes opened. And they give me some suggestions here. It says, on awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives. And a teacher in my life said, let's do it this way. The first thing we do is, before we begin, we ask God to direct my thinking. And in my prayer, I ask Him that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives. Then what I do is I consider my plans for the day. And in considering my plans, I think about the 24 hours ahead. And this 11th step is about doing and being. God, my God doesn't wear a watch. It's able to be and is. And if I live my life by the clock, my entire life in spirit by the clock, you know I'm going to start to experience an awful lot of fear. So, in my doing, though, there are certain places I need to be, certain appointments I need to keep, certain places and people I need to meet. And that's my doing and my plans for the day. My to-do list, at 11 o'clock I have to be here, 8 o'clock, Bernardsville. On my way here, pick up maybe some groceries. Tomorrow morning, get to a doctor, whatever it is. That's my to-do list. That's my calendar. That's my clock time. That's part of the human condition. But my spirit doesn't wear a watch. And it's really important to take into every one of those activities the way of just being with this power. I do my nightly review, and it talks about what corrective measures should be taken after I reviewed my day. Some of those corrective measures is part of my being for the day. Where I fell short yesterday, I turn to God for grace not to fall short again today. If I was dishonest yesterday, I take into my practice today of being honest in all my affairs. It says, on these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, For after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. We will see in 10 and 11 how many times they use the words thinking, thought life, over and over and over again. Way back when, we talked about how we're not our minds. Detached from what our thinking mind is telling us. When I awake to this power, and I experience proper use of the will, God gives me brains to use, and if I'm living along the line of God, I can do stuff like that. This is great power we've been giving. We're no longer powerless here. God has given us power to do things along the line of His will for us. It says, in thinking about a day we may face indecision, we may not be able to determine which course to take. We ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought or decision. Let it come to us. Then it tells me, I relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. And here's where self wants to do something. Need to do something. I need to do more prayer. I need to do more writing. And what we do in trying to get still, we talked about this last week, in trying to get still, same thing with meditation, what we're creating is more struggle, more inner turmoil. And then we try to control our external conditions to make my internal conditions feel better, and we're creating more troubles of our own making, rather than just able to stop, relax, take it easy, don't struggle, and wait. Just be. This is causing me some agitation. Okay, I can write some inventory and discuss it. I turn to prayer and I go about the next right thing to do. I don't sit with that or try to control everyone else to my liking because I create more problems of my own making. I can't stress that enough. We just go about our business or we go about being peaceful in all we do. Many times when I have this disturbance, my knee-jerk reaction is to start calling people to control an outcome. Write more inventory so I can move. I'm going to move me past this. I'm going to move me into being spiritual for today. I'm going to move me into non-disturbance. And all I create is more. And what I've learned to do is follow these simple set of rules here and then let it be. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. What used to be the hunch, occasional inspiration, gradually becomes the working part of the mind. And this is a promise, and this is that intuitiveness that we get. Gradually becomes a working part of the mind, and this is another shift we experience. Being still in experience and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we're going to be inspired at all times. And at the beginning, this may happen. That's why seeking counsel with others is important. I can tell you we get past that where we can rely on this intuitiveness. My sponsor had told me, my job is to get you as independent of me as quick as possible and dependent on God as quick as possible. And I thought he didn't like me when he told me that. I said, oh no, I pissed him off already. And the idea was, is when no one's around, your trust and reliance is upon this power. Can you go through the day just trusting and relying upon this power for everything? And at the beginning, I'll fall short and stumble, but it becomes a working part of my mind. It becomes a way I live, trusting and relying upon this power in all I do. It says, we might pay for this presumption all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration, we come to rely upon it. We usually conclude the period of meditation with the prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will and are careful to make no requests for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped, and that's a condition. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that. It doesn't work, and we can easily see why. If circumstances warrant, we ask our wives or friends to join us in morning meditation. I have invited those who are significant in my life into prayer meditation. Sometimes they take the offer and sometimes they don't. whether they do or don't, my job is to go sit in silence, go sit in prayer. But I always offer this out. I'll talk about my current practice in a few moments, but I do three practices a day. And what I do in the middle of the day, I always offer out to the person most important in my life right now. And sometimes she'll sit with me and sometimes she doesn't. But I always offer that out to anyone in here and outside of here. If we belong to a religious denomination which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. If not members of religious bodies, we sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. There are many helpful books, and I've sought many. Suggestions about these may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. Be quick to see where religious people are right. I have, and I still do, make use of what they offer. It says, as we go through the day, we pause. Now, the reason why I have to pause when agitated or doubtful is because ego has shown up, self has shown up. Because we talk about, well, what's God's will for me? I don't know. Well, we know what it isn't, most often. But ego and self wants to take that path. And so I have to pause because I'm experiencing agitation and doubt. The quiet voices say, Pete, head to the right. Ego and self are saying, yeah, but the left looks really good. It's easier and softer. God's will for me, what's not God's will for me? Well, at the beginning, my will appears to be really easy and smooth and everything I want, and then I start to run into me wherever I go. And sometimes God's will for me may be difficult at the beginning because it's new territory. It's new. It's my new experiences with it. The infancy of these experiences with this power. And it seems like I'm struggling. It seems like I'm wrestling with it. But a path opens up. In this discipline, there's great freedom. In discipline, there's freedom. So I may be feeling like I'm struggling because it's new and I'm not really sure. I'm kind of like walking around as I feel with a blindfold. But the path opens up and then we become very sure of where God's leading us. And then common thinking becomes uncommon thinking where the will was pulling me left. I can't even go there anymore. There's not even a thought about it anymore. I'm being moved by this power. And that is the infinite freedom and bliss I was talking about at the beginning tonight. Infinite freedom and bliss is when we're guided by God, we know we're trusting and relying upon it. And there's no looking back. We meet enlightened people like this in Alcoholics Anonymous many times. And that is just a wonderful place to be. Integrated with this power. Integrated with this power. When I'm agitated or doubtful, one of the words I work with, okay, watch, aware, and observe. Why am I experiencing this right now? Self's in the way. What part of self is in my way? And I'll even sit and write inventory at this point if I have an opportunity to. I will certainly turn into this power. What part of self is in the way? Why do I need to pause now? Another thing about pause, my first experience or impression with pause was, comma, pause. Okay, God, I pause. Now what? Pause, for me, has been any length of time. I'm not sure about something, agitated or doubtful, and I pause, and my pause can be till tomorrow morning when I see clear, till I seek counsel. It can be, the pause for me can sometimes be till next week if needed. My God doesn't wear a watch. He doesn't say, well, 10 minutes time's up, let's move. Pause until I wake up to what needs to be done. How many times do I wake up to what needs to be done and I kind of knew it all along? And I squander the hours that may have been worthwhile, as my book tells me, because I'm so wrapped up in me. It says we constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show. Humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, and here's another prayer, thy will be done. We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions because self has been moved out of the way. We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily. And these are all wonderful promises, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves, like the director. Anytime I have to start assigning you a role or you a role, I'm usually in fear, I'm usually in self. I have to. It's my only out. Having experience with thy will be done and knowing God's going to move me where he needs to move me as he will with you, I become much more efficient in all that I do. One of the great awakenings for me is that God is moving me and I get to do stuff. I don't have to do it. I get to do it. God allows me to pray. God allows me to meditate. God allows me to show up to this meeting and work with others and go to work and put money in the bank and make dinner and take my dog out. God allows me to do that stuff in all my affairs. God is very present when I'm walking my dog down the block. He is very present when I'm sitting in that prayer meditation. It is, and it's able to be. And the great thing is when we wake up to the fact that God knows us. It says we alcoholics are undisciplined. A great way to practice discipline is kneeling, getting on my knees and praying to this power. A great show of humility to this power and a great way to be disciplined. On my knees I pray. Now, if that doesn't work for you, that's fine. But that has been my own personal deal with this God. My discipline is kneeling, first sign of discipline. And turning everything to this power. As his son, as his student. He's the father, I am the child. It says, but this is not all. There's action and more action. Faith without works is dead. This next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12, and we'll talk about that another time. The more spiritual power embraced, the less self I rely on. The more self I rely on, the less spiritual power I can embrace, so I remove self over and over again. Again, in discipline, there's freedom. We're going to talk about night in a second, but I'd like to share with you some of my what I do, because we just talked a lot about mechanics. On awakening, the first thing I've been moved to do, and it's many years now, is thanking my Heavenly Father for allowing me to see another day. I mean, that's what I do. My practice consists of many things. What I've learned is not to worship the methodology. My practice has gone from reading lots of books to not reading anything, to reading steps 10 and 11 in my book to not reading anything. My prayer and meditation has varied in the amount of times I've sat in prayer and meditation, but it's always been consistent. My idea or conception about this power has certainly changed in what it was when I walked in here in 1988. I'm convinced, as I'm convinced sitting here, that my God knows me, Peter Marinelli, as he knows you. It took me years to wake up to that. I would pray to this power like he or it was out there, or she was out there, whoever it was. But did he know me? And in doing lots of work with these disciplines, I had an experience several times that came to me that I was convinced that God knew me. What I work with in the mornings, a couple of books I'm now reading, a couple of pages of each book, and then I sit in prayer. And my prayer consists of my Lord's Prayer, the third and seventh step prayer, and a couple of other personal prayers that I work with every day. When I'm done with the prayers, and if I listen, I listen as I'm praying, if I'm getting moved to read anything else or maybe offer another prayer, and I take things to this power. It's a humble offering. I'm not directing God how to direct my life. It's just a humble offering. And then I work with something since, it's almost a year, I'm working with something called an intent. And I take that in prayer and then sit with it in meditation. One of the things I also read is my sacraments of penance. I sit with that. So my prayer has evolved. And when I'm done with this, I sit in meditation. And my meditations begin with a prayer. I get centered. And then I work with a mantra and breathing. And I pay very close attention to my breathing. And then I sit. And I let God do my directing here. Many times in meditation, especially when you're starting out, we will get involved in other things, our dramas of life. We will get involved with noise outside. We will get involved with the thinking mind. And the first thing is to do, I have to fight this off because I'm in meditation. Don't. Observe it. Watch it and come back. Watch it and come back. Just don't go for the ride. sitting in meditation, and a fire truck rolls by. It's blaring its siren. Go with it and come back. Observe it. Stay focused. Work with the Word. We can, I think I talked about this, we can work with Our Father from the Lord's Prayer. We can just work with that as our mantra. Just keep repeating that and sit with that. I've worked with the Lord's Prayer line by line. A couple of weeks, Our Father who art in heaven, I'd sit with that. And I take line by line. Where did that take me? I work with page 62 and 63. So different things we can work with. But then my meditation gets to a point where I just get taken, and I've had many experiences with it. One of the neatest things I've experienced is getting to a place where you get out on the other side and you realize you were in a place I call nothingness, where there was nothing happening, that you realized before you went in how attached I was to sound, how attached I was to my external world. And I get out and I realize I hit a place where there was nothing going on. Silence. And we usually come out of that feeling more alive and more in touch and more useful than when we went in. My meditations are 20 minutes in the morning. I work with a religious practice in the afternoon, and I sit again for 20 minutes in the afternoon. And then at night, I'll do my nightly review, and again, I'll sit in meditation and prayer. And then I'm done. The neat thing is I've been made open to lots of inspirational books that have just a whole truckload of books that have helped. And I work with them. I read a book and I got done with it, a book called The Four Agreements, and I got done with it. And I called my sponsor, okay, I'm done. What do? And she just work with it. It's part of our 11th step now, and I work with that book, and I work with that book. I'm not here to endorse outside literature. I apologize. I just broke a tradition. I don't know if I did or didn't, but that wasn't my intent. There's many books I work with along with our book. When they wrote this, they weren't sober 20 years and spiritual giants. So there's been lots of information that has passed along to us. And yet, this book as is indeed the miraculous. If we just work with this book, we will experience freedom and bliss. You see how the drink has been removed? Remember in step 10? The problem has been removed. This is way beyond that. We're experiencing this power. I was sober counting days, and I started to go to my place of worship. But I wasn't attending the masses that they would have. I would go on off days to light candles. And I would light two candles. And one, I was moved to light for the sick and suffering in and out of Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, when you're counting days full of self and self-centeredness, the last thing you worry about is another fellow AA, right? I realized looking back on it, God was moving me again to be so concerned about people in and out of Alcoholics Anonymous. How did that happen? I was counting days. And I lit another candle for my mom, who passed away when I was a young boy, 14, at the hands of alcoholism. When I was drinking, and in these places of these having these audio hallucinations and just these crying jags, and I was just an awful place, I would make, in some very earthy, ugly language to this God, if you're even out there, I would beg him to make my mother appear. Make her appear. Make this woman appear, because I want one thing from you, and I'll stop. This is what I used to do. I'll stop drinking. I never got a chance to hold her before she died. What I want to do is just hold on to her, and you can do what you want with her. And then I'll stop drinking. And I would make these, and these drunks make these pleas. Obviously, that never happened. So I'm sober a short time. And I'm like a real novice at prayer and meditation. I mean, I have no clue what I'm doing. I'm just praying because they told me to pray, and I'm not even too sure if God wants anything to do with me. And I still had some resistance to this power. But God, in infinite mercy and love and care, didn't care that I was angry with him. And not in a cold way that he didn't care. He didn't judge me for it. One of his children is in trouble and I'm going to get him. Maybe now he'll listen. So I sit like a little kid in prayer meditation. If you're out there, a few choice words, this is where I'm at. Well, I get moved to go light candles, those two candles. And I work with this. No expectations. I have no idea why. I just get moved, and I cannot deny the Spirit. You cannot deny your Spirit. You cannot deny what God has moved you to do. You can't. So I attend, and I light these two candles. Well, about 8 or 9 years later, I'm sitting in the meditation, and what comes to me in this meditation, I happen to be, I get moved to this beach. And where the water meets the sand, the water meets the sky on the horizon, appears my conception of this power walking towards me. And as he walks towards me, out of his chest appears my mom. And I'm sitting in this meditation. And they walked towards me, and I went from being an adult to this little boy, about 8 or 9 years old, when I remember most of my mom's horrors. I was very awake to what was going on with her. And she kneeled down, and I remember her holding me as a little boy. And she had tears rolling down her eyes, and I knew, I was sure they were tears of joy, not of sorrow. And I remember standing up, and I was an adult again. And I remember this, that my idea of what my God is, the God I pray to, putting his arm on my shoulder, and there were no words to this whole experience, by the way, no words spoken, but there was something beyond words that I knew I was being spoken to. And with his eyes, I experienced the most peace and bliss I've ever experienced up until that moment. And what he told me, that she's okay, she's with me. And I had always wondered about that. Where? You know, mom went here, where? And now I was convinced where she was. And he let me know she was okay. And what she did, she pointed off to the horizon on her left. And I remember her pointing off, and I saw what appeared to be hundreds and hundreds of lights. Like I always describe it as a Manhattan skyline at night. These lights flickering, just hundreds of them. And she pointed off to the other side, and there were hundreds and hundreds of lights. And then she came back to me and held on to me, and I held on to her. Her and my higher power walked away. They became one, and I came out of meditation. And I was very much moved and somewhat emotional and confused. And so like a student, I call up my teacher and I call up my sponsor, and I share with him this experience. And he told me, haven't you been working with candles for about 8 or 9 years now? And I says, yeah. He says, well, your mom let you know that she got them. She finally got them. And so I was convinced at that point that this was way beyond what we do here. This was where God shows up, God shows up. And it's profound, it's powerful, it's life-changing, it's revolutionizing. And that was the very first time that I realized, because of the experience, that God knew me, Peter Marinelli. Because he hears my heart. He reads my soul. He knows. And now it's time for him to deliver an experience. Because maybe a day before, I didn't know what I would have done with that. God's timing's perfect. And it was delivered to me. And what a great gift. That changed my life forever. I was told not to talk the experience away. The way I ask you guys, if you want, if you're having an experience over these weeks, don't talk it away right away. Sit with it. And then when the experience is done, go scream from the rooftops about it. Because I've shared that story and several others I hope to get to, just to share for you my experiences with this in the glory of God, what he'll do for us. And I share that, and I can't tell you how many people have come up to me on some of the experience I've had in meditation and said, thank you so much for sharing that. I had an experience happen to me like this, and I'm afraid to go share it. I says, what happens if I didn't share this experience? You would have just walked away with that one, and somebody sitting in the back would have never heard yours. Sit with the experience, have it, and then go shout it from the rooftops, what God does for us in here. Based on my track record in 1988, I was dying in a hallway at the hands of a bottle of Mr. Boston Blackberry Brandy. A good day for me was hustling up enough money so I'd have enough to nurse me through the night. That was a miraculous day. I live in large at that point. I didn't care what I look like, what I smell like. I didn't care. So God takes that and puts it here. And then we start to realize that we really are children of a loving Father. Ain't that neat? Good stuff. There's a great quote the carpenter said. Blessed are pure in heart, because they shall see God. And I don't want to bring religion in here, but it is my practice. Not literally see God, but have experiences like that where you know. And then we start to see God, the great reality deep down in you, in you, in you, that every one of us are a child of a loving Creator. I see God like that. We see God like that. We touch this power. That's why resentments kill us. That's why driven by fear kills us, because I'm blocked off from the sunlight of the Spirit. I'm not free of that. I can't see the glory of God in you because I'm so full of my resentment towards you or someone else. And I'm full of me. Got to go. It's got to go. Great stuff that we can do in a place called Alcoholics Anonymous. My big book, when it comes to God, silence makes more sense. I've heard it a million times. When it comes to this book, silence makes more sense. But we need to share this book. We need to shout about it. We need to talk about it. We need to share experiences about it. But the information in this book, what it does to our heart, what it does to our spirit, is indeed the miraculous. We go from darkness to living and growing in the sunlight of the Spirit. Experience all of God's wonderful joys, blessings, His love, His grace. All the time, not once in a while. How free do we want to be? How free do you want to get? I'm done. Thanks for listening. Next week, am I still on here? Next week, we'll get into when we retire at night and talk about a nightly review and all that that entails. Any questions or comments? Hi.
Hi, sir.
Well, if I show up to God petitioning Him like, Father, let me hit the lottery, God's not considered with the lottery, really caring about the lottery. But if I ask Him, Father, show me how to be more patient and loving, that's a great thing, because then I can go out and be of service to Him and others. I heard someone say this that kind of knocked me off the chair. Okay, go petition God. What do you come up with? I don't know. I like a pocket full of money and a new Rolls Royce. And he says, God's probably saying, schmuck, I was going to give you 5 Rolls Royce and 2 pockets full of money, but here it is. So why waste time doing it? Anyone else? Yeah, hi.
Hi, I'm Dan. I'm an alcoholic. I just got out of detox last night.
Welcome.
Anywhere near where you're going here, but what you told me tonight is really telling me what I should be seeking.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked my way down there all over again. And, I thought I was somewhere near it a long time ago, but that was very powerful.
Thank you. You may not have the experience I've had, and you may be sound asleep in certain areas, as it is when we're here, when we're new. But don't for a second think that the glory of God is not within you right now as you sit here.
That's right.
Okay. Uh-huh.
When you say God doesn't have a lot, that if you need to sit and take a day or a week or whatever to make decisions, that's well and good, but most of the world runs on a lot. And what you do, in the real world, that makes decisions.
Okay. Great question. And I was referring to my own personal agitation or doubt or uncertainty about certain things that I need to do for me. We do have a calendar to live by. And so we seek counsel and ask someone, sit with a sponsor. This is where I need to be. A while back, I have a question to someone. I just got a job offer. They need to know right away. And I'm really not too thrilled about it. It's really low paying. I need a job. It's not what I want to do. I need a job. What do I do? They need to know right away. So I call up the sponsor. I seek counsel with someone. What should I do on this? But if it was like, how do I approach getting right with someone? I'm having resentment with someone. I'm experiencing some fear. I'm not sure what to do. And I have that time. I use pause as long as pause takes. Okay? Yes, hey. Whatever else that needs to be done in my life. And whatever else I'm supposed to be doing, whether it's getting to my meeting, helping family out, calling up a sponsor, whatever it is, I just keep connecting dots. I have a pause about this area here, but my life continues to move. And sometimes my answer to pause comes in my other activities.
While you are pausing, moving on to the next right thing,
mm-hmm.
How do you keep yourself from how do you know you're moving on to the next right thing? It's not like saying, okay, well, like you talked about previously, that, you know, overdoing your prayer meditation and, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, not being still. You know what I mean? How do you know you're not comfortable? You
know? Please be more specific, because I want to give you my honest answer.
All right. You're pausing because you feel agitated about something.
Okay.
Perhaps, you take care of yourself and give yourself some quiet time. But after that quiet time is up, that, you know, you can allow for yourself and you have to go on with the day.
Okay.
How can you be sure that you're not just,
okay, my pause is not in silence with meditation. My pause is I don't press for an answer with something that's troubling me. My pause may consist of writing an inventory and discussing with someone else. My pause is with that specific area that I'm having trouble with. That doesn't mean I don't show up for work at 8 o'clock or I don't take the dog out. Or I don't do house chores. I don't do whatever else needs to be done. I relax and take it easy with that. And I keep moving. And the right answer will come to me. And sometimes it'll be revealed through other people. Sometimes it'll come to me like, oh yeah, I know what needs to be done. I just need to go write more inventory. Maybe there's a mend owed here. Make sense? Okay. And sometimes the pause is pause. Stop. Breathe. Where's my breath? Watch, aware, observe. And then keep moving. Sometimes a pause is just like a comma, pause. So I react less and be more. B, capital B-E, be more. Okay. It's practice. How do you get good at prayer and meditation? Work with it. Practice it. How do you get good at inventory? Write inventory. Okay. Way in the back. This past year, it's more than a year now. I experienced divorce. I experienced having to get out of a home that I bought and all the material possessions leave behind that I bought. I experienced being part of downsizing, and I was out the door. Experienced unemployment and extremely, extremely difficult financial times because of all of that. And I said, what do I do? When do I just put my hands on the wheel a few times I wanted to, and God's not listening. And I went through all this internal dialogue. And when I experienced those very dark moments, because there were many, the little voice said, there's a greater good to this, and God's moving you for a reason. My human condition likes none of it. And I would have to sit with my sponsor and go through a whole lot of inventory that I wrote and share with him how I was in fear, how I was experiencing anger, whatever it may be. My point is I had to sit with someone else who was clear of that, an objective, someone who was objective to it, and certainly was having an experience. Rather than relying on me, who may have been falling asleep from time to time, or experiencing anger from time to time. So I seek counsel all the time with that. Mm-hmm. P.S., looking back on everything that's happened to me, my life has never been more full and complete and invigorating than it has been in all the years I'm sober. I mean, I get to travel around the country internationally to do this. My relationships with people are incredible. I learned the difference between friends and acquaintances. And my friends are friends, and I have many acquaintances. Have set me clear on a lot of things. I work at this prayer and meditation. I mean, just wonderful things have just evolved out of a very dark and lonely spot. Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks for listening.